Evil Squid Comics Podcast, episode 517, as in season 5, episode 17.
Oh, that was your 517 overall.
Yes, 517. No. I need to find a better way to say that. Like, you know, episode 17, or season 5, episode 17.
We just started season 5 of Oz.
Really? That sounds like a lot of Oz.
It's a lot of Oz.
Sounds like a lot of gang rape. But
it's a lot of gang rape. It's a lot of dudes in the showers.
Yeah,
it's a lot
seems
of
like
people getting stabbed.
5 seasons of that seems like a lot. But hey.
It's a lot of... It is a lot,
everybody's
dude.
Taste
it's
is
a lot.
To their own. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I am. Now it's kind of just get through it and see what happens.
Cool.
But yeah, it's a lot.
Anyway, I'm Drew.
I'm Don.
I'm Scott.
And we talk a lot about Oz, apparently.
We should have... They should have... It was a good thing in real time, like when it came out, that it was a week apart.
Oh, yeah,
and
I think so.
And then it took breaks off for, like, the seasons.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Watching it, like, a month and a half straight is not a good idea.
It probably isn't.
Okay. Well. Yeah. Did anybody watch Clerks 3 since last time?
No, because no. Scott lied. He said it was on Hulu. It's not.
I know, and it's not.
It's on Stars.
Like, it's like some
yeah,
Hulu.
It's on Stars.
That's right.
Hulu Stars.
Hulu Stars.
Which
you
nobody
can,
has.
You can buy. I do.
Nobody has Hulu Stars.
I do.
Do you have Stars on Hulu?
Well, I have Stars.
How do you have Stars?
Because it comes with Showtime. And I have Showtime. I think you have to flip to that. And there you go. We have Showtime, and I think Stars comes with Showtime.
It might. How do those... I guess you're, like, the last person keeping, like, Stars and Showtime and Cinemax alive.
Well...
He is.
Because I don't know how those networks are making it.
I don't have Cinemax. What happened was...
Cinemax is gone anyway.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure Cinemax is
doesn't exist anymore?
Did totally HBO buy them out, and that's why they call HBO Max?
Did Warner Brothers own Cinemax and HBO? I always thought they were competition, but then I thought maybe they were the same. I don't know.
Whenever they redid, like, they came back with a new season of Dexter, like, probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And Barbara had to watch it.
Yeah, it was on
so
Showtime.
So we got Showtime,
yeah,
and we've never canceled it.
That's fair. Well, then you started watching that Yellow Jacket show, which you loved.
Yeah, but that was
that's on
year.
Showtime, though.
I know. But that was only like last year.
They might make more seasons.
Yeah, there's like a second season right now that we're in the middle of.
Yeah, totes, man.
All right, Flash.
Flash. Scott or Don saw The Flash. I did not. Scott saw it in the theater.
I
thought it was the best movie of the summer.
Dude.
Cool. Thought
you
it
did.
Was the best movie of the summer.
What did you say?
I don't know if I said it was that.
What
but
did
I
you
say?
Say
he
bad.
Said it was a great, fun popcorn
movie. I said it was a good popcorn flick.
It surprised me. I enjoyed it. It was actually pretty... That's like the best opening sequence of a DC movie in a long
really?
Freaking time.
Probably
I was digging
so.
It, dude.
It's rather amusing, yes.
Well, no, I'm just talking about like the whole Batman thing, too.
Oh, really?
Not even the baby... The baby part's the part
yeah.
that kind of threw me away, but it was like straight on action, like Batman.
It was a lot of action. I thought the part, though, with Wonder Woman was a little over the top.
Oh, yeah, they just threw her in. Like,
yeah.
She didn't... She shut up. That was stupid.
So
I'm talking about like the first 10 or 15 minutes with Batman and the robbery chasing the bad guys with the virus or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the whole car chase.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that was cool.
Yeah, that
and
is
then,
true. That is true.
Other than like, I don't know.
What did you think of the special effects though? Especially like when he's in that a dome or that arena.
Yeah.
You know, they're like this weird... overly clean look
yeah.
of things, and it's a very stylized look,
yeah.
but yet it's still trying to seem real, but yet this weird clean look. It didn't really, after being used to it, I mean, I kind of felt like they were doing something there, but it just almost gave a feel of like it being unfinished, even though it's more of an artistic aspect that they did, especially like at the very end where it's like the crashing of the worlds together and
cameos.
And you see the little cameos and some of those cameos look
that
a little
so
awesome. Weird, but
and I'm talking about the dude
cage.
That's
yeah
it's freaking great
yeah
because I'm like because they show that character like fighting and I'm like who is that who's and then you turn around and you see who it is but I thought it was I actually enjoyed it.
Like, but I thought it was entertaining for them. Yeah, there's some good humor a little bit there.
It's better than acting. It's got to be better than Blue Beetle. It's got to be better than Shazam.
It was definitely better than Shazam.
You haven't seen Blue Beetle. How do you know it's better?
Because it looks like Spider-Man, a combination of Spider-Man and Iron Man.
I don't know. It was definitely better than. Awesome. It was probably.
I know.
It was better than Aquaman. It was better than. Yeah. The second Shazam type things.
I haven't seen that either, so yeah, it is better than that. I'm not hyping it up for you.
I went in
so
you went out with super low expectations.
When the movie I did, but
and not, even after Scott said it was great.
But not really.
I didn't say it was great, but
Scott said it was the best movie.
I was excited to see
good popcorn.
I was excited to see the Michael Keaton Batman. That's what I really wanted. I know. Like that was
and it's really good.
Oh my god! Like when I'm watching that, that's the Batman that we should have had in 1989. Holy crap! With the special effects now and stuff, because like he's like kicking ass, like you know, like in the old movie, like in the 80s, yeah, he's like a boom.
Yeah,
I think a lot of that was like CGI'd.
Probably, yeah, I'm
but
sure. What'd you think of the Supergirl?
Yeah, I like that character.
Yeah, I thought she did pretty good too.
And I mean, the story overall is fine. I did like the way it kind of, you had that at the end, and then with all the with all the other planets and the multiverse and all that stuff. That's great too, though, at the end.
At the very end?
At the very end, after he comes out of the court and Bruce Wayne pulls up.
Yes.
That's so great. So when he's in, so he goes back in time. To try to save
he's
his mom.
Tell you the whole story. Yeah.
No. But he goes back in time to save his mom, and
no, he doesn't go back in time to save his mom.
Yeah, he does.
I don't think so. Well, he thinks maybe he could. But I mean, his whole thing was that he was trying to keep his dad out of.
No, he went back in time to save his mom because he went to the grocery store and put the right can of whatever. That was his goal. It didn't work, or did it? I don't remember. Dude, it goes back and forth so many times. Yeah, his whole goal was to go back in time to save his mom. Yeah, because he goes back to the store, puts the can of tomatoes in the shopping cart so that his dad doesn't have to leave.
Yeah. I'm getting confused with the end.
That's fine. But, so he goes back in time, saves his mom. But then he thinks that, anyway... So he's in this other world, and they're talking about... He's talking to himself, because he meets himself, younger. And he's like... They start talking about, like, Back to the Future. And the guy's like, oh, like, Back to the Future? And he's like, yeah. He's like, Eric Stoltz was great in that movie. And so Ezra Miller, the guy from our time, he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you mean the one with Michael J. Fox? And they're like, who's Michael J. Fox? It was like, it was Eric Stoltz. It was his great, best performance or whatever. And then they start... Then he goes
but
to
they
the
steal,
apartment.
They keep having these connections through different
he
movies.
He goes to this
and
apartment,
kind of funny,
and his roommates are all there.
No, they don't say that one, but there's something weird in some of the movies.
Yeah, so like he gets back there, and dude. So his roommates are there, and dude's got like the tattoo on his leg of. God damn, I just watched it today. Who was it? I can't remember. But they screw up like all the movies.
Yeah.
Like all the movies are different people.
With different lead actors.
They were like, are you talking about somebody? And he goes, oh, that dude was in Top Gun. Like the new volleyball beach scene or whatever. And it was like somebody different. It wasn't Tom Cruise. Like all the movies were the same. But they were all different people.
Yeah.
But anyway. Leads.
Thanks for ruining that gag.
Oh, okay. I went into it thinking that it was just going to be another stupid, horrible DC try.
You didn't believe the hype? They said it was like the greatest superhero movie ever.
It wasn't the greatest. But like I said, it's a good,
Scott loved it.
Good popcorn flick.
Dude, said it was not the movie
I'm really
year.
Not.
It's almost as good as Wonder Woman.
I just watched it today. Like, I just watched it today.
How did you watch it today? Didn't you work?
Well, I watched half of it yesterday, and then I get off work early.
So you didn't just watch that. You watched.
I watched half yesterday and I watched half today.
Okay. Cool.
But I don't know, man. The Michael Keaton just hit the sweet spot for me.
Well, I'm
you
sure it
mean?
Did. I know you love Michael Keaton Batman. For
I know.
You're fixated on that.
I did go back and watch Returns with the Penguin and the Catwoman because I haven't just recently.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen it in a long time.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't hold up as good as I thought that it would. But I still really like the first one.
It wasn't that good the first time, let alone 34 years later.
It was all right. I mean, it was... And then now I'm starting to watch... I started to watch the Returns or whatever with the Two-Face and the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
And Val Kilmer.
It's horrible.
Val Kilmer is a terrible Batman. He really is.
I remember liking that when I saw it, but man... I tried to watch it lately. It's like, oh, it's just so bad.
Yeah. Well, so as I'm watching it, it's kind of like they did the same thing with the movie that they did with the TV show. They started, well, I mean, it turned into that because it just turned into like over the top, bright colors, campy,
yeah,
big explosions, like just big action movies or whatever, you know, yeah, what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the first one...
Spend less money by blowing shit up.
Right.
Yeah.
The first one, I still really like. I still think that one's really good.
Okay, cool.
The first Batman?
With Michael Keaton.
With Michael
from
Keaton?
1989.
Oh, yeah.
With,
yeah,
Jack Nicholson.
With Jack Nicholson.
The Joker.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. I can see, sure, that.
But, man, I really... Like, I was watching that going, this is what we should have had in 1989 with Michael Keaton as Batman. Like, that kind of graphics and being able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And there was even, like, a little nod where there was one time where he looked up, like, he turned his whole head to look up because he couldn't, you know,
move
the cowl.
His neck. Yeah,
he can't move his neck.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was when they were in the bottom of that.
Was it? Or I figured it was when he was flying his damn ship around, but
yeah.
I don't know.
But, yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed The Flash.
I enjoyed it.
I mean, not as much as Scott, but it sounds like you really liked it.
Of the new stuff that I've seen.
New stuff
that you've seen. Of the new DC movies. Yeah. Of like the new wave since Batman, since the, you know,
like
what I'm saying?
The
Zack Snyder.
DC Extended Universe?
Yeah.
The Zack Snyder.
Mode. Right. Out of all that,
yeah,
the second Suicide Squad is,
yeah,
probably my favorite.
Okay.
And then this probably falls right in under there.
Cool.
Which, I mean, it's not saying a lot.
That's not saying a lot.
It's not saying a lot, but it's saying...
Because there's only one good film in the DCEU, and that's the second Suicide Squad. It's nice that it's the second best, though.
It is.
That is pretty... But did you ever see the first Shazam?
No.
Because that's supposed to be good.
I've seen the first Shazam, and I did enjoy it. Yeah.
I couldn't stand it after I saw the trailer because it just looked like Big. It looked like they just remade Big with superpowers.
But Big's a good movie.
It's a bit like that, yeah. But it's still an enjoyable...
Maybe Big thing. Was ripping up. Riffing on Shazam.
Yeah.
Because that's existed a lot longer.
Could have been.
But what I'm saying is the way that they made the movie.
Yeah, I get it. Because that's Shazam, man. That's the whole idea. It's Billy Batson.
But
he's
it's
a kid,
like,
and he becomes an adult.
But
I get
it's
it.
Like the people that made the movie said,
let's make it like Big.
Let's make this.
But he's a superhero.
Let's remake Big, but we'll call it Shazam.
Yeah, because Big was a ripoff of Shazam.
Okay.
They didn't go dancing on a piano, though, or anything.
No,
so.
Are you sure?
Piano dancing.
Not that I remember.
I was pretty sure the trailers that I saw, like, they had to recreate
they had,
that
they,
scene.
They did the dancing.
I was pretty sure that they did it somewhere in there.
Pretty sure.
All right. I have one more. I watched, I forgot to tell you, this was a couple
got
weeks ago. I watched Evil Dead Rise.
Oh. Did you like it?
I did.
Huh,
but that
okay.
was, like, the creepy, like, over-scary, like...
It was.
And... I did
I
like
a fan, but
I did I like know. The fact that they had all the little nods and the little because the dude had the shotgun
mm-hmm.
and the chainsaw and there were little
yeah there were some
there were
little
things that were
yeah.
nods or throwbacks or whatever to
Easter
but,
eggs to the
yes.
other rituals.
I like creepy really
creepy and gross
scary movies like
yeah.
that so. I
don't know. To me, it was
did
like
Barbara
border...
like it, or she didn't watch
it. She didn't watch it with me.
Borderline. Of
I mean,
torture crap, but I don't know.
Eh, a little bit.
I finished The Beef.
You
or Beef? Not The Beef. Beef. This is pretty good.
Is that the one that you watched with the chef guy or whatever?
No, it's The Bear. You watched Beef.
You're just not finishing it.
Beef.
Yeah.
I finished it last week.
I finished that like
I know, you
2 years
it came,
ago.
It's just not been out for 2 years. It came out this year.
Really?
The one with Steven Yeun and the
yeah.
Asian girl? Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose name I don't know.
Oh,
I don't even remember.
I
don't even remember how it ended.
Did you watch
it? No.
Oh my god.
It was okay.
Just watching the trailer gave me anxiety.
You had acted like it was really, really good, and so I went in thinking it was really good. It was good, but it wasn't really good.
Really good. But I like
overhyped it.
I liked the way
Chrissy's starting to lose faith in you a little bit because you said Werewolves Within was good. She didn't like that, and then and she was kind of not iffy on that. But then I said, but Don did recommend Righteous Gemstones. She's like, yeah, I gotta give him that one. That's a good one.
And I'm pretty sure I watched Justified before you did.
Watched what?
Justified before you.
Yes, but I think it was Nick who turned me on to that show.
I'm pretty sure I watched Breaking Bad before you.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not like you're the only person who was talking about
Breaking Bad. Well, that's true.
Like, I hadn't heard anybody other than you talk about Righteous Gemstones. Like, you turned me on to that
too. I'm almost through season 4 of Justified.
Oh.
So...
It's funny, my in-laws are watching Justified as well. So they're, like, watching it, like, at the same pace you are.
Oh, really?
They just finished season 3, I think.
Okay, yeah, I've got 2 more episodes to go of season 4.
So how are you liking Justified? So there's only
2 more seasons to go after this. That's pretty good. I feel like this season, in season 4, it's like they felt like they were like, well, we're running out of stories here. Where can we make up something else, you know, type things. Oh, we'll do this, you know. At least I feel like the first 3 seasons
super tight
were tight, yeah. And they kind of just one flowed right into another.
4
and they,
starts to make
they kind of yeah. And now 4, they're kind of like, oh, where do we need to go? Where
it's still super good, so, but it doesn't feel quite as tight driven. Together.
Yeah.
Well, you should tell Christy that I'm really digging Oz.
Oh, that God. Would
be my next. We're not watching Oz. Yeah, many other horrible shows I could watch before that.
I liked Beef because it was really, it's my life. Like, it's
that's
the way,
your life?
No, but it's the way that, well, it starts with miscommunication and then just the shit that these people do.
I didn't think it was miscommunication. It starts with 2 people who are just really angry.
Yeah, really angry, and then one of them pisses the other one off past the point of no return, and then they're just like, and so their lives intertwine, and they're trying to screw each other over and get back at this one and then get back with this one and then
I think I like that part of it because I think everybody's really angry. Like, I think under the surface everybody's just bubbling with rage.
Right.
And we're all just barely holding it together and holding it in. I really believe that. That's why people keep snapping because everybody's just on the edge, man. They're all about ready to snap.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're ready to snap. I think everybody's like just that close.
I really
to varying degrees.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good TV show.
It was pretty good. I liked it, but it wasn't like great.
Are you ever gonna watch it?
Beef, no.
Did they make up at the end or are they still fighting? I can't remember.
They kinda make up.
They just agree to like leave each other because it goes it skips no, ahead not... years, doesn't it?
No.
No?
They end up...
Did you watch the show?
I did, but I watched it...
They end up wandering the wilderness, remember, together?
Oh,
and they're still not getting along.
And you think... I thought that was going to be the end of it. Like, they were just going to die.
But then they finally get rescued, and then What's-His-Face shoots the other guy, and he ends up in the hospital. And then she's at his hospital bed, kind of consoling him. That's basically how it ends. So they do kind of make up, I guess you could say.
So maybe the end is not... Did you not like the way it ended?
The end was fine.
Okay.
It was okay.
Alright. Okay. I don't know.
It's good.
Well, there's a lot of stuff you've told me to watch that I haven't watched.
I saw the new Spider-Man one, Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Was it better than The Flash?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's his new best movie of the summer.
So,
new best movie of the summer.
New best movie of the summer. It's certainly
did we even ask Indiana where Jones. You saw it?
So, no, don't ask.
Okay.
So. But it is on pay-per-view, though, or whatever. You can get it digital or whatever type things. So, but it's pretty long. It's like 2.5 hours.
I know. That's probably the reason why I didn't go see it. I was like, 2.5 hours.
And the biggest... The worst thing about it, or my biggest complaint, is the fact that it doesn't end. It ends on a cliffhanger.
After 2.5 hours?
After 2.5 hours.
They're making another one.
So, they're making another one, yes.
You know, people were really excited about that. I really liked the first one. I thought it was cool and kind of edgy and kind of different.
Yeah.
But then it's like, everyone's like, oh, it's so good. We got to have another one. Why do we always have to have another one of everything?
Because they're
successful.
Why
can't things just exist? Why can't we be like, oh, that was a cool movie?
Money. It's all about money.
What if they stopped at Empire?
What if they stopped at Star Wars?
Right.
It would have been just fine.
Star Wars would have been fine, but you can't stop at Empire.
You can't stop at Empire. No, I'm not saying that you have to... That's meant... At that point, it was going to be a trilogy, right? That's fine.
And that's what they did here. Is the first Spider-Verse was a complete movie, self-contained. And he's saying, why did they have to make another? Why do we have to keep making sequels?
I don't know. Why do you buy Savage Dragon every month? Why can't you just stop?
Because I like Eric Larson.
Why can't you just stop at 250 and just be like, I've had enough Savage Dragon. Why can't Savage Dragon just stop? It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
I don't know. I mean, they could have stopped at Godfather 2. They really should have stopped at Godfather 2. They didn't need a 3.
But I'm glad they made Godfather 4.
Right. But...
Wrap it all up, huh?
They didn't make Godfather 4.
I was like, they didn't make Godfather
4. I'm talking about... what was that... I don't know. I don't want to get in this with you. I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to... play devil's advocate.
Is that the Godfather 4?
No, with carrying on trying to carry on this conversation. I'm just
saying the devil's advocate. Did that have...
Oh, that did have Al Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Wasn't that... Was that... Keanu
Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Did you ever see John Wick 4?
Nope.
Oh, God, that's so
did
good.
You?
That's the best movie of summer.
Best movie of the summer.
Did it come out in the summer?
Best movie of the year.
I don't know.
Oscar.
No, that's Air.
But Spider-Man, Across the Spider-Verse. Yeah. If you like the first one, it's building on that. It's still good.
And you'll
it's
be
more
waiting,
of the same.
And you'll be waiting for
the third one. Yes.
It is. I mean, it's spreading things, but I mean, it's like all that stuff. You know, ooh, we got to do it even more on this bigger scale, you know. But somehow they seem to make it work and the characters are enjoyable.
Did they film 2 and 3 at the same time?
No, they didn't. God damn it.
Are they making another Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland?
If they can come up with a good script, but with the writer's strike, I doubt it.
Is he under contract?
I don't think he is under contract.
I thought
anymore.
He said he was kind of like like backing away, retiring.
Well, he was thinking about it, but I mean, it's like anything. If they throw enough money at him and the story seems good enough, it sounded like he wasn't shutting the door either, you know, on him. But, you know,
be 30.
The longer the writer's strike,
the writer's strike's only on for like 3 months. So.
They're like, keep putting
that... but they're now pushing shit back years based off of this thing. So
they're like,
they're pushing back Dune. A movie that I thought was in the can, they're pushing back 6 months because of over the writer's strike. So,
They have to have Zendaya promoting that thing for it to be successful.
Is that what it is?
That's what they said. I said they can't make Dune 2 successful without Zendaya on social media.
Jesus Christ.
That's their marketing plan.
Our billion-dollar property rests on one person promoting it on
social
media.
Turns out that actors promoting their movies actually has an impact.
I know.
Who knew?
It does. Imagine that.
Well, they used to do that. Like, they would go do interviews on TV.
Yeah, I know. Press junkets.
But now people don't watch TV.
But they watch YouTube.
Right.
And they can do stuff on YouTube.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying. All right. What else? I saw Spider-Verse, Justified. I saw Beef. Oh, is anybody watching Killing It?
Yeah. I was going to say, they're telling Tom Holland to just keep putting dead baby cream on his face to stay young.
Is anybody watching Killing It?
I don't know what that is. No, apparently not. What is Killing It?
Daryl from The Office.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get money, and he's in Florida.
Is it a TV show?
Yeah, on Peacock. And it turns out that Florida pays you for killing pythons.
Gotcha.
Everglades?
They do.
Because apparently, people started taking them as pets, and they got too big, and they just let them in the wild. And they have no natural predators, so, you know. What are you guys watching?
The trailer.
For what?
for killing maybe it. Maybe even the show. I don't know. For
killing it. Okay, he's just yeah.
playing killing it.
Cool. So I was just pulling it up so that he
can see what have a visual
have
aid.
A visual aid when you said, as you're describing this. When you said
Daryl, I was thinking of Dwight. So
so this Daryl. Gave him a better idea of which so, actor, you know.
You're anyway, talking about. So it's basically, and then it turns out there's a contest going on. Whoever kills the most snake and snakes in like 30 days, like it's like $20,000, and he needs money to like invest in his idea that he has, and so. But no, it's got some pretty. It's pretty funny. John Lucas really likes it.
Oh, I on saw that Facebook, post.
He's like, please, people watch it so they'll make more because I love this show.
I gotcha.
So watch... John Lucas said it, you should totally watch it.
Right. Do you watch The our Great? Case lineup.
Absolutely. Do I watch what?
The Great.
The Great?
Yeah. No. It's on Hulu or whatever. It's about like Catherine the Great and, yeah, and that type of thing. It's got like Nicholas Holt. And, well, I thought it was your kind of show because I come to find out that it's written by... that Yehu director or whatever that you guys like that did like The Lobster and
That guy?
And The Favorite and stuff.
Oh, I did like The Favorite.
So
I did like The Lobster.
So I did not know this until I like
I don't know that I ever saw The Favorite.
Looked something up there.
But I did see The Lobster.
You should watch The Favorite. It's pretty sweet.
Is that the same guy that did Midsommar?
No, that's a totally different guy.
Yeah, totally different guy.
But... have you watched Midsommar yet?
No, it's not on anything Jesus. To stream.
It is. I watched it streaming.
It's probably on Stars or Showtime, and I don't have those.
Don't you... seriously, like, don't you... don't you a little bit sometimes miss being able to go to the Family Video or Blockbuster
yes.
or whatever and rent a DVD?
I like, miss it 1,000%, Don.
Okay.
I used to actually go to Family Video before they closed.
I know, I did too.
And I want to open a new video store. I think there's a market... because I think people do miss going to the video store and, like, renting a movie.
So, you can, you could, I'm sure you could rent Midsommar somewhere. I'll bet you could, if you
like
could
digitally?
Pay.
Like
digitally? Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could pay $4
they probably
for
have it,
it
at the,
Redbox?
No, at the library.
They might. But what I'm saying is, and yeah. you don't, shouldn't have this hang up, but, like, if you... could find if we leave and you go upstairs and you type in Midsommar and it has it for $3.99.
Well, bad. Well,
are
bad.
You gonna?
Mm-mm.
Why?
That's too high.
To rent it.
Yeah.
That's what we used to pay.
No, Family Video always had like deals. You pay like $20 a month. You get rent.
Yeah, but
like,
that was 20 years ago, dude. Yeah, inflation's up.
Yeah,
dollars up. So $3.99 is too much. $2.99.
I'll just wait for it to come to streaming. Here's the thing. Here's the problem.
What's
Here's
the
why the model is broken.
What's the difference?
Because I like the experience of going to the video store.
Okay, we can't have that anymore.
I don't like the experience of just renting a movie digitally.
Huh.
It's not fun. And then you have like, don't you have like, once you start watching it, don't you have like 24 hours to finish it?
Probably, but it was
okay,
the
so what
way.
If I start at 9 p.m. Yeah. and I fall asleep, I want to finish it the next night at 9 p.m. My 24 hours is gone. I can't.
I understand, but it
usually
was
when you rent the stuff, you can have it for like 2 or 3 days. I don't really pay the extra to have it for like 3 nights or whatever.
Okay.
Because I didn't rent like 3 DVDs and have them all for like 3 nights, and it was sweet because you could like have a pass like 3 movies and you could watch them. That was the best. Remember when like we were kids and we'd have like staycation and we'd just go to the video store like every day and rent like 3 or 4 movies?
Mm-hmm.
That was the best.
I know.
We had no idea how good it was.
So I guess it's one of the writers of The Favorite wrote The Great. So Tony McNamara, it wasn't directed by Lorgos Lanthimos or whatever.
Gotcha.
So, but it's got some of that same humor, though, quite a bit through The Great. So,
cool.
That kind of dry type, sarcastic type.
There's a guy that at humor. Work, and he's really into 80s music, but he's way younger.
Okay.
All right.
And define so, what kind of 80s music he's into.
Anything. He's like...
I mean, there's all sorts of different music in the
Yes,
80s.
And that's his thing.
It's not all the same.
That's his thing. He's like, there was so much different kind of music in the 80s.
There's always different kind of music in every time.
But he's like...
But
what? Not. More than just hair metal? You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. But anyway, he was like... he was like,
oh, yeah, because there's like Skid Row and there's Bon Jovi. You know, those totally...
and Iron Maiden.
So. Anyway. He was like listening to a Whitesnake song today.
Whitesnake's horrible.
And he's...
It's
not.
Here I go again.
They have one good song. Yeah,
two good songs.
What's the second one?
Here I go
Rock
again.
Me like...
That's the first one. What's the good second good
Whitesnake? There is the second one.
No,
I can't think. Yeah, there is.
Okay. But anyway.
There's two.
So anyway, he's listening to Whitesnake.
Right. Ballad thing.
And he's like, He's like,
is this love or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was Van Halen.
No. Well, there probably is that one too. So.
Anyway, he said, when you were growing up in the 80s and listening to this stuff, did you know that it was like the greatest decade for music? Like, did you know that when you listened to it?
The 90s are actually way better.
No, they're not.
They absolutely are.
No, Still of the Night. Now that was a good...
Still of the Night. Still of the Night. That's Still a good of the Night.
So there.
But I was like, no. Like, I listened to a lot of that music and I enjoyed it. But I guess maybe... So like... The 80s are when I kind of grew up. You were a little bit
I grew up younger. In the
80s. I know, but...
But fine, whatever.
Anyway.
80s are when you grew up.
So, obviously, you're always going to...
Yeah.
You're almost always going to go back to that whatever. And no. go, oh, this was great.
I think the I 90s this. Were.
Why I think the 70s and 90s both dominate the 80s.
No.
Like, I'd take the 70s or the 90s over the 80s. 80s are maybe
And
third.
I practically grew up in the 80s. I mean, a
big No, chunk, I know.
I mean, from the age of
I know.
7 That's to 17 garbage in the 80s. Was for me
there
for
is,
the
it's
80s.
Good garbage.
So,
it's like good, bad movies. You have to,
yeah, 90s were
There's a lot better. Of one-hit stuff in the
but
80s.
But I feel like,
but there's
for me,
a lot
the
of,
90s
it changed
were
a lot.
A bit.
The 90s is just...
The best.
Other than, like, Nirvana...
Oh my god, the 90s are so
the
good.
The total, you had still a little bit of the hairband stuff, you had the grunge music coming
really.
In.
You had all the alternative, non-grunge stuff.
You had a lot
stuff.
Of the alternative type
back.
Things, punk was coming back, rap is, was mixing it up with everybody. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, it just was great.
Rap was like peaking in the 90s.
Yeah, but it wasn't, what it, I didn't want to listen to that. That was like, I didn't listen to Tupac. I didn't listen
but,
to...
But my no, point is, but my point is that in the 90s, we night, had like such a great variety of music, I felt
So
like.
Did you in the 80s.
No.
The 80s.
I felt
the
like...
The 80s is great too. Don't get me wrong.
Don't
get great music.
But the majority of the 80s was hair band type stuff, hair, and then maybe the different versions of hair bands going from heavy metal to whatever, and you had pop. And there was somebody that was probably listening to country, all two people of them. And their rap was starting to make its edge into there. But I felt like the 90s is really where all this stuff was being more fluid. And everybody was kind of mixing up genres and trying to develop new stuff. And things were coming back into different Vogue, you know, type ideas.
So when you turn 16 and you start driving...
Yes.
Like, that's when, like, obviously I had, like, radio.
And
I
was in,
MTV.
I was eight.
Well,
was
we had
in
MTV
80s.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
When How I turned six, when I turned 16.
He's 4 years.
I'm 50, dude.
Okay.
So
you're 4 years younger than me. So, like, 87 is when I turned 16, which means you wouldn't have turned 16 till 91.
Okay.
So, like, you would have missed the whole driving experience, like, listening to music.
Sure.
So... That makes sense. Like, you're driving.
So you're saying whatever music you're listening to when you're first driving is what it is. But I was mostly listening to 80s music when I was driving. Because I started driving when I was 15.
And I was mostly... I was listening
to... But those 4 years, 90 to
94. A lot of stuff I was listening to was from the
80s. And don't get me wrong. I had a huge collection of...
So you did like the 80s more than the 90s.
I had a huge collection of cassettes from
the
80s.
The 90s are... Better musically than the
80s. And
so
that's where I would go.
To the 80s music in the 90s.
I did listen to some 80s music in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely say I did as well.
You just said I listened to mostly 80s music in the 90s when you were driving. Like, in
no,
high school.
When I first started
when
driving.
When you first
school,
started driving.
I had a lot of 80s music I was still listening to. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely, I mean, I listen to a lot of 80s music. And
I don't know.
Really,
the more I talk about 80s is really good. They got some good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to say.
I mean, you've got Metallica in there. Honestly, Guns N' Roses started in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and things.
Appetite's the best Guns N' Roses album that was in the 80s.
Def Leppard, Hysteria. I mean, that's like one of the hottest selling things
of
all time. You know, and things. Hell, Boston probably had one of theirs that came out or something.
I just
in there
feel like
too,
the 90s
and
is
things.
A little bit stronger. It's close.
I just feel musically that the 90s was a better era just from their experimentation.
The 60s buried
things
all
of that type things.
I mean, let's be realistic.
The Beatles and what the Who and
like
Rolling Stones and
Bob Dylan.
Dylan, yeah.
All right.
Simon
Garfunkel. Movies and comics. we're done.
Movies and comics. I don't think I had. I didn't watch hardly any movies. I mean, I watched Spider-Man. That was my big thing that I did.
I didn't watch any movies.
So, and I keep right now. I keep watching all of Justified. So that's been my big push on there.
I've just been watching all.
Did you read anything? Do you have any books with you?
I read Berserk, Cat. Goon, and one comic book. Dude, it took me forever to read Berserk. I don't know. It must have been four sessions, at least 30 minutes long or so. It takes me way longer to read Berserk than it
That's
does
two
you.
Hours. That's it, hardly anything.
Yeah, well, no, it was probably more than that. It was probably four or five, 45-minute sessions.
I couldn't even finish Spider-Man in that time frame. I mean, come on.
And then I read one comic book and half of the second issue. But I
want to hear about issue. Ultimate Invasion. How was that?
This is garbage.
What?
Ultimate Invasion.
It's Hickman, right?
It's Hickman. It should be one of the best things ever.
Is he not... killing it,
David. It's basically the
Ultimate Universe is invading.
No, so like apparently the way that I don't even remember how the Ultimate Universe ended.
I don't either. Do you need to know that?
Kind of, sorta, because like the whole point is the creator or the maker or whatever, the Reed Richards
from the Ultimate Universe.
From the Ultimate Universe, like he's captured and like held hostage and he somehow hires these people to come rescue him or break him out, and so they do, they come break him out, and now he's just on a tear trying to either
is it set in the Ultimate Universe
or is it's set in 616 because they merged everything. That's when Miles Morales is now part of the 616. I'm assuming.
When did that happen?
Whenever they ended the Ultimate Universe. They brought them in.
I remember they brought Miles Morales in.
It ended the, I think, Ultimate Universe.
Cool.
And so it's basically, this guy's on the loose, and now everybody that, all the superheroes from this universe are trying to track him down. It is kind of funny, he does go to like, he goes to Miles, the make whatever. What is his name? The Maker? Or something?
I don't know. You said it. You read the book.
He goes to Miles Morales and he's like, "Hey, dude, you want to come back with me?" And Miles is like, "Nah, I'm cool. You just stay here." He just like goes away. But I don't know. Like, I didn't get like super amped up at this thing. But
I was a little excited because Hickman was writing it. But sounds like. Maybe it's not that great.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, I don't know, man. And you know what? Like,
you know what? What? What do you know?
Is Brian Hitch, like, changing? More loose? Like,
yeah.
I wanted to go back
and look
at, like...
He hasn't been as good since the Ultimates.
Right, that I was gonna go back.
That was really peak Brian Hitch.
Like, it just seems real loose. Like, maybe he's changing. I don't know.
Is Paul Neary inking him?
No, it's Andrew Curry.
Sometimes I wonder if these inkers were filling in a lot of the blanks.
Buddy, you should say that. They have a whole section in the back of just pencils.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'm.
That impressed.
Super impressed with it.
Like, Brian Hitch was so good on The Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was so good on The Ultimates and Ultimates 2. And then ever since then, I felt like nothing's ever lived up to that hype. Because remember when he did that Fantastic Four run? It wasn't
really
that good.
Right, but it's not.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. It just... Yeah. I wanted to go back and, like, look at... some old stuff, because I was like reading this and I'm like, you know what, I don't know, like maybe I felt this way for a while.
I felt that way for a while
and I just didn't want to admit it because I was living off that hype from before.
Yeah.
But maybe it is time to,
I mean, it's not bad.
It's not bad, it's just it's not, I don't know,
not what it was for whatever reason.
And now that after you mentioned that and I kind of looked through it, maybe it is. Maybe it does have a lot to do with the inking.
Maybe. I know that Carlos Pacheco, I never liked him as much as when Jesus Marino or whatever that guy was.
Yeah.
I was inking him.
So, I don't know. I mean, plus they're like $10 a piece or something.
$10? That seems like a lot for a floppy.
$8.99, dude.
Are you serious? $8.99? $8.99?
The new book that he's got coming out through Marvel?
Is $8.99?
The Gods? No, yeah. It's $9.99.
$9.99?
$10 for the first floppy issue.
$9.99?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm almost positive that
I
that
think
was,
I would stop buying
I almost,
comic books.
I almost work. Stopped buy. I almost didn't buy it. And then I'm like, oh my god, it's Jared Hickman. It's the big event. Blah, blah. Maybe it's good. So, yeah. Yeah, dude, this was $9.
That seems crazy.
It does seem crazy.
It's not even square bound.
No.
It's not even have a cardstock cover.
It's oversized, I guess.
It's not even oversized.
It's probably, here, let me count the pages.
I
well,
know,
there
it's
is
got extra,
extra
pages. Yeah.
Which, do I really want to pay an extra for? I'd rather not have that and pay $3.99.
Pay less, yeah.
Or $4.99 or $5.99.
I read BPRD Omnibus Volume 6.
Jesus, you're way ahead of me.
I am?
Yeah. What did I read last time? One? And two?
Of BPRD?
And then I gave up again.
Yeah. Oh.
Because Drew was reading it, talking about it. I was like, dude, I should sit down and read them because I have them all. And so then I started, and I think I got up to number two, which is where I got last time that I started to read them.
Oh.
So basically, there's like these monsters appearing all over the world, and the world's kind of ending. The BPRD has now gone, like, international. Like, they have international funding, like United Nations or something. And so...
Who's the artwork on these?
All right, let me get that. Let me give you the gist first.
Okay, sorry.
I'll get there.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's all right. It's no worries.
I'm horrible.
It's no worries.
Oh, come on.
I would have done the same. But anyway, so that's kind of where they're at. And so they're kind of trying to put out all these fires all over the world. And this one felt a little more scattered. Like, Liz Sherman had kind of run off and left. And so she's not even in this.
What?
Abe Sapien got injured last omnibus. And he's pretty much in stasis this whole book. And so, about the only major characters is, like, the dude in the suit, the doctor guy with, like, the ghost suit or whatever. Mm-hmm. You got him, and then they have some new characters. And so, there's really
the
not...
The golem? The homunculus?
No, not the homunculus. The guy in the, like, suit that's made of gas.
Yeah, but is the homunculus guy there?
No, homunculus died, like, in Omnibus Volume 2 or something.
Huh, way to ruin
it. I thought. He's been dead for a
so
while.
So, it's the dude in the suit, that's it.
He's, like... The only, like, major character. And then they have some side characters that they're, like, trying to, like, make major, you know? There's obviously the director lady, the blonde lady. I don't know her name. But anyway, it has really great artists.
Read a giant omnibus. But
that's okay.
Cool.
I
couldn't remember that dude.
Yeah,
the maker.
I read and watch shows all the time
maker.
That I'm like, that one person with the weird haircut? Yeah.
Right.
So I think BPRD, like, really broke a lot of great artists. Like, Tyler Crook does some of this.
Yep.
But then they've got James Heron does a couple arcs here. And they got Max Fiumara. He did the Bunker book.
Oh, cool.
And then Jason Latour also did a story in here. So, and this was kind of before a lot of them were huge. Like, it's funny, the James Heron story is co-written by John Arcudi, who started that book with the James Heron, Rumble. John Arcudi and James Heron did Rumble. So they worked together on this, and then I think they launched that book after. So, I mean, BPRD is pretty good at finding great artists and, you know, kind of giving them their first work or whatever. But it's good. Like I said, it was kind of a lot of stuff was happening, but it kind of felt a little bit spinning the wheels. But I feel like this might be even better on a second read because there's so much going on. And, like, they bring back, like, characters that are, like, from many, many stories ago. And so, unless you're really tuned in, I think you miss some of the nuance, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's good. I like BPRD a lot.
Nice.
Like I say, the stories are always solid and the art is always really good. So it's really hard to complain too much. But I would like Abe Sapien and Liz to come back in the picture.
Yeah. How many more of these are there?
They're going to 10, man.
Are those the same?
They're going to 10.
Are those the same as the hardcovers?
They are the same as the hardcovers. We've had this conversation a number of times. Okay. And they are exactly the same as the hardcovers.
Are those the same as the hardcovers?
They absolutely are.
It's the same conversation I had with my wife last night.
All right. What did Scott read?
I read The Magic Order
2.
And I do see what you were saying, you know, type things. Okay, so in the
Wilson's not saying.
I don't remember.
Yeah, so in this one, you got like at the end of Magic Order 1, this
Cordelia
punk girl or whatever. Yes, Cordelia.
Cordelia.
She's like heading up all the Magic Order now.
She's the boss now.
She's the boss, and it turns out that there's some renegade, you know, dark wizards, you know, that they're supposed to kind of keep in check, and they're like wanting to take back over the world and make it back like it was, where it's just dark and there's all sorts of wicked creatures and all this other crap.
Isn't it basically Harry Potter and Voldemort?
Yeah.
Wants to
get the muggles in line and dominate.
The idea is similar, but I mean, it's...
But Harry Potter is Star Wars, and Star Wars is a Western, and the Western is... Right. I mean...
But, let's get back to it.
But anyway, so that's the whole gist of the setup. It's the good guys, so to speak, versus the bad guys, you know, of things. The Magic Order being the good, but I mean, they're even all kind of fucked up in some ways, you know. Typical Mark Miller, you know, type of stuff.
Flawed heroes.
He's got flawed people, you know, and stuff. Some really great art, though, by Eminem
is the best. Yeah.
Holy crap. On some of those cases, I mean, heads are rolling all over through this book. You know, blood's flying, all sorts of things. You know, but suffice to say, in typical Miller style, you know, the bad guys do get their comeuppance, you know, at the end there. But, I mean, overall, they're winning, you know, and it looks like the guys are on the ropes, you know, and everything else. And then, you know.
Rabbit out of my hat.
That's right. There's some type of little thing. Well, you didn't say people that were not part of the blah, 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 you know. And so now somebody else, you know, has some powers to help take over, you know, and give the bad guys a hit. And, you know, so when everything's dire, something pulls out, you know. And then, of course, there's this whole thing where, you know, our lead chick, you know, is there to help save the day and has to sacrifice herself. But then she magically pops back up because, I mean, it is magic. So, and they don't, I mean, and it's just kind of like the Rise of Skywalker. Somehow she's back, you know, kind of like the Emperor. Yeah. We don't know how, but they're back. So, you know, so it kind of does some of that.
I think
the
Emperor was cloned, wasn't
he? They didn't say. They just said somehow he's back.
I'm imagining he got cloned.
That's right. Everybody has their own imagination.
Boba Fett came back.
I mean, as far as I know, she could have came back because she was cloned, you know.
Boba Fett came back.
He crawled out of the Sarlacc pit.
So. You didn't know that, though, until you saw it or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is...
But I'm saying 30 years, and then Boba Fett comes back.
So let's get wrapped back around this. So this, the good thing is, Miller knows how to craft a story.
Yeah.
You know, type things. I mean, I enjoyed it, you know, is the thing. I mean, it's just, but it's typical type things. He paces very well. It's entertaining. There's lots of blood, guts. I mean, he's got some humor in there. The characters are very flawed in their own ways, which sometimes causes some issues. I mean, I guess in a lot of ways, you don't really care who lives and who dies in some cases, you know, of things. I mean, hell, there was one guy that they just kind of introduced and then they blow his head off, you know, or something. And I can't even remember where he was from. And it's just like, wow, was I supposed to care about that? I mean, it seems like some of the other characters do, but I don't know. So, you know, there's these type of things that go through this book. But I mean, from an entertaining thing, it doesn't overstay its welcome. It moves good and it wraps up a nice little story. But I also feel like, you know, probably after we leave here, I'll probably forget it. So, you know, and some things.
Well, there's a 3 and a 4.
True. But by the time I read 3, I will probably have forgotten what the hell happened in 1 and 2. Who was the one girl?
Because I forgot about what happened in number 1.
Yeah.
I read Berserk Volume 9.
9.
I still understand why it's called the Millennium Falcon thing. Like, I don't get to Star Wars yet.
Doesn't he get the dark armor?
He doesn't get dark armor. Is he supposed to be Darth Vader then?
Yeah, that's what I got. Armor. It's like Darth Vader.
And that one character's kind of like Chewbacca.
I mean,
is that all just the dark armor?
I don't know. That's kind of what I was getting.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that the story really follows it. Other than, you know, he gets jacked up.
I guess he kind of looks like Darth Vader.
I don't know. That's what I...
Yeah, this book was okay. I mean, it was... I kept looking for the Star Wars and I never really found it. So that made it hard.
I don't know. I think it was just the armor.
He's kind of getting a new band together. Like, they've got this little witch girl.
Yeah.
And they're, like, driving the trolls out of this village. And he's got, like, the little kid who wants to be trained by him. It's kind of annoying. They got the fairy.
But he's been with them for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That little dude?
Yeah, he has. But, I mean, they're kind of starting to become, like, a group.
Yeah.
You know? And then he's got, like, the one guy who's with the girl, Lady Faris or something?
Yeah, Farnes.
Farnes, something.
It's Farnes.
But they basically go around fighting more demons and monsters. And while all this is happening, Griffith is still, like, doing his thing kind of in the background away from them.
Is he in it at all?
A couple times. He comes and finds that princess again. Like, the one that he, like, hooked up with earlier, like, 5 books ago.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's kind of rejuvenating that. So it's kind of all over the place, but...
Yeah. Okay. I read the next one, because now you're up to where I am. So I read 10. Nine.
You read 10. Had you read 10 before?
No.
This is the first time
I read it.
So now I need to read 10, and then we can talk about it next week.
Right.
Well, you remember
it? And I'll read 11. Oh, okay. Probably not, because I'll be reading 11. Because I have to get ahead of them.
Yeah.
This one, I
will say the art continues to improve.
Yeah.
Like, his art's really good, and it continues to get better as he does. This one looks like it's very long.
Yes.
Not as much action.
No. There's not a whole lot of action. There is a little bit in the beginning, and then it picks up at the end, like the last... three books or whatever. There's a lot of story going on in this one.
I don't know about that, dog.
That's what I said.
That's what makes him read fast.
It took me forever to read.
That's why it took him two hours to read.
It took me longer than 2 hours. It took me, I don't know. It was 4 or 5 evenings, and I would go downstairs, and I would probably read for like 30 to 45 minutes each day.
Wow. So,
it felt like it took forever.
All right, so we got one go back. We forgot to talk about Ahsoka. You didn't watch. Did you care if we talk about it, or you want to wait?
Did you
watch Rebels?
No.
Oh, you're going to be so fucking lost.
Willie?
I just don't know. You'll be completely lost.
I have this problem because I have watched Rebels, but I'm trying to disconnect myself to go, okay,
Do you know who Thrawn is?
Yeah, but Thrawn was in, like, the books. Wasn't Thrawn in...
He was in also Rebels.
But wasn't he also in, like...
But he was in the Timothy Zahn trilogy of things.
But he wasn't he also in, like, the Dark Horse, the old... what do they call that?
Yes.
Heir to the Empire.
I think so.
Well, yes, because those were all based off...
But
they were based off the Timothy Zahn trilogy.
Okay, I didn't know, so, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't
his trilogy was called, like, The Last Command, Heir to the Empire, and there was one other one. I can't remember what it was called.
I know the name, and I know that he's blue, and I know that a lot of people are pissed off because he's a certain shade of blue, and he's not the right shade of blue.
Yeah. So what did you think of Ahsoka? We don't really talk about the plot, but as far as just enjoyment.
Oh, boy. How do I explain this? So here's my thing. I really like Ahsoka. All right.
Like the character or the show?
The show.
Okay.
Cool. I really like the show.
I really enjoyed the show.
But I feel like I'm liking it because it has this certain... It's tapping into what I liked of Star Wars in general.
Lightsabers?
So I think it's given me a bit of this nostalgia, young kid feel, you know, type things. Well, it's not just the lightsabers, though. It's the lightsabers.
It's also the blasters.
There's a little bit of blasters in Mandalorians.
Ahsoka has two lightsabers.
There's the cool droids with the smart aleck remarks. There's some cool fox, you know, I mean, some piloting going on, you know, and things like this.
Cool villains.
You got some neat villains that seem to be kind of cool, dressed real nice, whatever else, you know, type things. So it's tapping into a lot of what I feel like makes Star Wars fun. Enjoyable and fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like while And this is my biggest complaint is I feel like Ahsoka herself is too zen and too, you know, stoic type of character, especially compared to how her character was before. But even then, as a standalone, I still feel like her character is not fun. It's very stoic and this type of stuff and serious, and you can't have fun in front of me, you know, type of feel. I'm very serious. I've got to find Thrawn, you know, one single-minded thing. And but the rest of things around it seems like, ooh, this is Star Wars and this is a fun space adventure, you know, type of things.
Yeah.
So, are there a lot of the battle droids in it? Roger, roger.
No, no battle droids. Because it's set after...
It's set after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So it's between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. So it's basically in the same era as The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it before or after Mandalorian?
Then why would you have to watch the other stuff? Because that's before all that.
Because they're bringing back a lot of the characters from Rebels.
But that's my thing. I don't think you have to, but there is characters that are introduced in here that are from the animated type thing.
They will be new to you.
Exactly. It will be new to you. But my wife's never watched Rebels, and she's watching Ahsoka with me, and she's got characters that she's liking, you know, and things like that. But she does feel, I think in some cases, she doesn't know the full history of things, but I don't know that that's really... I don't know that she's finding a huge drawback either, because she does what I do when you guys talk about some comic crap that I don't know. I just Wikipedia it, so, you know.
I'm going to wait until next week and just start with episode 4.
I think you should.
It'd probably work. Actually, you should watch episode 3, though. I enjoyed episode 3, except for, god damn it, Filoni and his damn space whales. I just don't know.
I don't know why people are obsessed with space whales.
I'm not a fan of that thing. Lobo loves
space whales.
Who does?
Lobo.
Well, Chris Claremont loves space whales.
But
Jason Aaron's got a thing for space whales.
Yeah. So, but what do you... Okay, so I talked a lot about it. What do you think?
But it's Jason Aaron, space whales.
Sea of Stars. Isn't it all like space whales?
Oh, but he had help.
It's true.
What was Chris Claremont?
He had those space whales, those big giant space whales with the Shi'ar, and they were like going through with the Star Jammers. So anyway, I thought it was good. It was enjoyable. My kids talked way too much during it, so it was hard to focus.
Mm, okay.
If you slap them hard enough, they'll stop talking.
Well, yeah. Then I turned on the subtitles, and they started reading the subtitles to be obnoxious. So it didn't work.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, no, it was enjoyable. It was fun. I never seen anybody get stabbed with a lightsaber and survive that easily, though. Like, usually when you get run through with a lightsaber,
it's over,
right?
Yeah.
I was like, really? Okay, sure.
That's
true. Why can't Qui-Gon bounce back like that?
I know, that's what a lot of people say. But think of it, I mean, Darth Maul got chopped in half and he made it through. It's true. So, you know
it takes all kinds of
did he, though?
So,
did he what? Did he?
Yeah, there's...
I mean, like in Rebels or something, but not like...
In the Clone Wars.
He shows up at the end of Solo, for God's sake.
That's true, he's at the end of Solo.
He does.
With metal legs.
George Lucas brought him back, so... That was when Lucas was still in charge. Solo.
So, Lucas was not in charge when
Solo... No, he's in charge of the Clone Wars.
Oh, was he in charge of the Clone Wars? I thought he was. I guess he licensed the Lucasfilm animation over there, but I don't know how much he was still paying attention.
I think he was, because I saw an interview with Filoni just the other day, who was basically saying, he was talking about the like Legends or Extended Universe. He's like, when I talked to Lucas, he basically said the TV shows. Yeah. He said the TV shows and the movies are what was canon in Lucas's mind. Everything else was not canon. But now,
well, and Filoni had a lot of Lucas's ear, and still does.
Yeah, so I think Lucas knew what was going on.
And he might have, you know, and probably goes, oh, George. That's a good idea.
What's up, George?
But anyway. And that's my thing. I feel like Filoni knows what makes Star Wars enjoyable, and he is such a fan of it that he does. But you still have a little bit of the...
Motherfucking space
he's
whales.
He's better than Lucas from a writing perspective, but he's still pretty...
In the motherfucking galaxy.
He's not very surprising or witty, you know, still, I think, with some of the overall writing aspects, you know. And I feel like the characters are... I mean, it's the problem that Star Wars has always had in some cases. very one-dimensional, you know. I mean, you are a Jedi. You must stand there and be this, you know, or whatever else. You are a rebel, so you got to be make sure that you never follow anybody's rule and always be sarcastic and whatever else. You are a smuggler. You have to do this, you know. So he's got these, you know, certain things that are like, oh, yep, you got to hit these beats if you're going to be that character. And I feel like that's even here or there a little bit. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but like I said, it gives me... for me, I still like it, you know, but I just have a hard time recommending it to others going, oh, you should really watch this because I know it has, it's weak in certain areas, sure, you know, type of things.
That's fair. Hmm. All right.
Got that. But definitely watch the third one. I like the third one.
I'm going to watch
it. It's here again, it's a bit of a mixed bag. It's a bit of a mixed bag here again, but it's
doing nothing cool. When I got over here. You could have been watching that.
It drops Tuesday nights. Watch it.
Julia was at gymnastics.
Did you know it drops Tuesday nights, though?
No, I did not know.
Yeah, that. It comes out Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock now.
8 o'clock?
Yeah.
So late.
So, yeah, I've been watching. That's how I've been watching it now. I can watch it on the Tuesday nights.
What are you, 60? No. Do you eat dinner at 4?
He does.
Yeah. No, it's never ready by 4. That would be awesome. You get off at work, you come home at 4. Well, dinner's on the table.
You could drive straight over to Dad's.
They don't eat till 5.
I'm sure they serve dinner at like 3 o'clock.
I think it's 5, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, it's late.
Alright. Jesus.
It's late.
It's at 8 o'clock. Oh my God. It's so late. How do you stay up so late to do the podcast?
It's a struggle.
I was going to say, I really bet it's a hell of a struggle for him.
All right, so we read The Goon. Jesus. We read Chinatown.
Chinatown.
And he says, this ain't funny. I thought it was hilarious.
Takes you down.
Just kidding.
It was the funniest.
It was funniest
Goon. It was as funny as Guardians of Galaxy 3.
It was hilarious.
Rocket record.
I suppose I can believe that because somebody else was telling me they watched Guardians just today. It said, yeah, it wasn't near as funny as the other ones. I'm like, what?
No, I'm just saying because everybody says funnier. It's sad.
I know, but that was exactly what was coming out of this person's mouth. It wasn't as funny as the other ones. It was more emotional and serious.
It was.
So,
all right, I got Chinatown. So, Chinatown is a Goon story, but it's set like in the past.
It is set in the past.
And in the present.
And in the present.
So it's a little
which is kind of like the past, though.
It's
for
kind of,
us.
It's the
it
same.
Is.
So,
yes. And then it's set in the far past, too.
The far past.
Kind of jumps all around.
But when it was published, it was in the past and the present.
I do have a... So, one thing that he did early on, which really threw me, I know it's so minor. So, he steals that gun or whatever, right? And he takes it home, and what's her name? Yeah. His, like, guardian lady.
Oh, yeah. He's got the cap gun, yeah.
So, look at his guardian lady. She's, like, in her wrestler outfit with her hair in a bun.
Yeah.
And the next scene... She's dragging him, and she's in some, like, suit with, like, a hat, and her hair's, like, down. It's hard to visually know that that is that character.
Yes, but just based off of speech and things that
happening. But I had to look at it, like, three times. But you did have to... I'm like, the nose is different, the face is different. It's like, I don't know if you could make a worse transition from that character and make me think, as a comic reader, that this is the same character.
I could give that to you, because I had the same... slight pause there as well.
Okay, but other than that minor thing in the first three pages, other than that, it was really good. He did a cool thing of having it using different, like, coloring techniques between the two times.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought the story would have been better if we didn't even have the present-day story. Like, what did that really add to it? Was he trying to show, like, parallels?
I think he was just trying to show some parallels and how that went.
I mean, hell, it won 2 Eisners, dude.
I know. I don't know how. No, I'm just kidding. It was really good.
It was, but it's also, I don't know.
Like, and so, it felt like there... So...
It's really his origin. It is. It's part of his origin. I mean, you find out why his face gets messed up.
Also
why he's a loner. Why he is not...
Got his heart broken.
He got his heart broken.
So, let's talk about that a little bit. So, there's this girl... And she kind of seduces him. They have a relationship. And then he gets her out of her contract, her indentured servitude to the Chinatown guy by giving him the docks or whatever, right?
Right.
And then he falls in love, and they're all lovey-dovey, and he starts letting everything kind of fall to crap as far as his crime empire, right? Right. Okay. So, but then she decides she doesn't want to be with him anymore.
Right.
True. Which, you know, women do that. That happens. But it doesn't really explain why.
Do it too.
Did you guys get some deeper meaning as to why?
Did you read back there and then further back?
What back?
The back type stuff in there.
His words in the back. Words in there.
No, I don't read the words in the back.
His end game or whatever.
Yeah, there's some... I'm with you. There's some little...
It's an epilogue?
I thought so.
Yeah, somewhere in there, he...
Then I guess it's in that art or whatever.
So it's not part of the story?
I don't believe it was part of the story.
Well, that's dumb.
Somewhere he writes for why he made that decision.
Okay, so... But as the story goes, maybe you can explain it then, because you read his special...
Not really.
...footnotes. But she decides to break it off with him.
Yep.
And then she doesn't really give an explanation, which is fine. But then she almost acts like she regrets it, like she's going to write him a letter explaining it somehow.
She does.
But then he never gets the letter because she throws it in the trash.
Right.
And so, okay, it's very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
It is. I expected, like, oh, here's what the letter said, and it kind of explains something. But no, let's not give us that. Or let's just have her leave for no reason, but then somehow regret it. And then it's like...
He doesn't know, so you don't know. What, if the goon doesn't know, why would you know? Yeah. Why would you get to read the letter if the goon doesn't get to read the letter?
Well, I saw her write the letter. He didn't see her write it. They're showing me stuff the goon doesn't see. It's not a first-person narrative.
And I think part of the idea was, though, that just sometimes...
Things don't work out.
Yeah,
you
know? I get it.
You make the wrong decision and then you regret it and what might have been. His thing at the back he's like, this story's not cut and dry. I want the reader to make up his own mind of how he wants the story to end. Because it could be different than the way I want the story to end. So he's talking about ambiguous storytelling.
Yes.
Yeah, that's basically what he's saying is that, you know, sometimes there's movies that end that way and you don't know. You have to decide, and that's kind of what he's doing. He's like, I'm not going to spoon feed you the story. I want you to think about it, and then you come up with how you think it ended.
All right, so I took literature classes in high school, in college.
Okay.
All right. And yes.
That's the biggest scam.
Yes, you are correct. Writers can be ambiguous and make you use your brain and think of stuff. But the stuff in the story that they're ambiguous or they're minimalistic or whatever, it should be there for you to figure out and have some kind of... Or it should serve a purpose. It serves no purpose to be ambiguous. It gives you hints, but then doesn't pay off or give you anything.
I think the purpose...
I don't think it works.
Okay, that's fine.
Narratively.
I think it... Well... I don't know about narratively, but overall, as an experience, as a story...
It doesn't work.
And I felt it did work to a
it
point.
It does, because she felt like sometimes...
She there was some reason she felt like she couldn't stay with the
guy. She couldn't stay with him.
You know, type things. Maybe it's because of the way that he reminded her of the past. Who knows what? Maybe that's what it was in there. But that's where part of the ambiguous comes from, was to show that she wasn't just this... heartless whatever that just did whatever. It's trying to show that sometimes things don't work out, that she was conflicted and whatever else, and that these things didn't have to, you know, these things happened and that they weren't going to end up. You didn't need to know what was in the letter. You just needed to know, based off the expressions and things, that there was some aspect of her being torn with what her decisions were, you know, and the fact that it also was really upsetting for Goon from an emotional standpoint.
For whatever her own reasons are, she thought she was doing what was either right for her or best for her. Whether it was...
Maybe she wasn't acting what was best for her. Maybe she thought it was what was best for the goon.
It could really be. Well, but there you go.
That
it leads
true.
Back into
it could be
the
sacrifice.
Ambiguous
I can make whatever story up I want.
There you
go.
You can.
Yes. I guess I'll just write the story the next time. Sounds good. Why write a story? Jesus. I'll just make it up.
Wow.
I'll just make it up. It's cool.
He's really
did you like the part where the giant lizard talking about the pants showed up? No, I don't know.
That part was great.
The giant lizard with pants.
Joking.
I'm totally joking. Talking about a made up story. See?
Gotcha. I don't know, dude.
I know what he was trying to do. I didn't think he did it very well.
Okay. Point taken.
That's fine. Scott thought it was well done. I assume you must have.
I had no problem. But I didn't take a lot of literature classes in college.
Yeah,
I don't even know what I'm missing.
You don't. You got no idea.
I did take a few, but I don't remember. I don't remember.
He had us read stories where the writer was trying to do something and it worked. And he had us read stories where the writer was trying to be ambiguous and like fancy and all that, where it didn't work. And it's like,
I don't know.
And it's like, okay.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line. You have to
give enough to kind of go in the direction that you wanted to go, but also leave it and beg enough that that it's almost a little bit of a choose your own adventure or something.
It's tricky, and I didn't think he quite pulled it off. He made me feel, not that I was making up my own story, it made me feel like.
No, and.
And see, I think for me, I don't know that I even kind of, I didn't even spend that much time with that, to tell you the truth. I mean, at the end of the day, she left him, you know, and whatever else, right. And broke his heart, and I think that was the thing that you needed to, or at least for me, I felt like I needed to
get across. I think you're just pissed because you didn't get to read the letter. If you got to read the letter, then you would understand. And she would have said in the letter, this isn't going to work out between us, and I'm just going to leave because it's better for both of us if I leave.
That would have been way even more satisfying.
That's what I'm saying. That's what the letter said.
The letter could even have been ambiguous. It's like, why even show me the letter and then not show me the letter?
I understand. It's kind of the same thing. I remember.
If you're going to leave it ambiguous, leave it completely ambiguous. Don't start to kind of show me, but then say, I changed my mind.
Would you have rather heard, like, pick up a phone to try to call him and then suddenly go cook when he answers?
Yeah, that would be better.
So, okay.
I don't know.
I think, like Scott said, I think the whole point of it was that just, sometimes you don't feel, you make stupid, or you make decisions based on how you're feeling in that moment, and you think you're making the right decisions, but then you're gonna look back and you're gonna question that. Was that the right decision?
I don't know that she questioned it.
What could have happened? What if?
I don't think she gives a crap. I think she just used him to get out of her thing. I don't know.
Well, see?
There's not enough there. There's not enough there.
Drawn his own conclusions.
Yeah, there's not there for me to make any kind of a
whether
conclusion.
You,
it's like all over the place. She's called and she drops him. Okay, maybe she was just using him. Oh no, but then she kind of writes a letter that's going to explain it. But no, she decides not to give it to him and throw it in the trash instead.
Well, whether you're
why write the letter if you're not going to give it to him? What the hell's the point of that?
She had to get it out. Sometimes you just got to get it out.
She put his name on it.
Sometimes you just have to get it out and put it down on paper, and then you're done with it. And then you're like, you've never thought about something, like, I don't know, anything. Like, whether it's, I'm going to have this conversation tomorrow, and you play through it in your head, like, all night long or whatever, and
sure.
It starts to make sense. And then you wake up in the morning, and you're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever thought of. Like, I'm not going to go have that conversation.
What if I decide to write it down? It's a little bit different.
No, it's not.
A little bit.
That's how some people think.
Maybe. All right. She didn't strike me as the literary type.
She doesn't?
She did not.
She didn't.
Yeah. But whatever.
It's fine. But I think he served his purpose because he stirred something up in you to where he's evoking a reaction out of you.
I'm evoking a reaction because you guys aren't getting that I'm frustrated.
No, we get it. I get that you're frustrated.
You're not getting that it's not well done. You're like, it's ambiguous. That's a cop-out. There's nothing wrong with being ambiguous, but you have to do it a certain way.
Okay.
The way you did it was not well done.
Yeah. Turn it into carry on a game night.
Alright, that's all I got.
Carry on a game.
That's my rant.
Carry on a game.
You do the rant.
You can't do that.
Alright. Anything else?
No.
I don't think so.
Alright.
I hope the next chapter of the Goon's better than this one.
It wasn't bad. Like, I liked the artistry of it. I just
thought
the
art writing was really great.
I just thought the
throughout
story
this
was a little
I know.
Out there.
Man. And I liked the way that he kind of did, like, slightly different colors or
I think he did like an ink wash on the old stuff, and then he did the more of a traditional style.
Yeah, I did like that too, to kind of show that this way you didn't have to say, you know, 20 years ago all the time or whatever, you could get instantly just by the pages go, oh yeah, now I'm back in time. And
yeah, he talked about it as a back matter. He didn't want to have to keep going, well, back in,
That was a nice thought that was very well done.
So you picked up on that, like that made sense to you.
Yeah, nothing.
He didn't spoon feed that to you 20 years ago. Like you picked it up.
I picked it right up.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right. Cool.
He's a great visual artist.
Well, he said in the back that he's back to his poop jokes. So you'll
that'll enjoy be better, it more. I think.
You will.
You'll enjoy the next one. Be better. He's not going to try to do anything hoity-toity or you know.
I appreciate that effort.
He's not going to step out of his wheelhouse. Anymore. He knows where his bread's buttered.
That's right. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.